Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Faye is she is the shoebox lady with a lot of other gifts. So let's welcome let's honor her. Let's welcome her this morning. She comes. Come on, Faye. Going to continue in our series in the book of Acts.
Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be here again this morning. And no, I never translated the Bible. I know that sometimes I give my own renditions up here, but I have helped with translation of a few books into Thai, but that was just helping. I wasn't the translator. But it is great to be here and for us to look again at the book of Acts. And today we're in Acts chapter 19. And this chapter is sort of the beginning of Paul's third missionary journey. At the end of chapter 18, we read that he went back to Jerusalem, reported in with the brethren in Jerusalem and fellowshipped with them. Then he went up to Antioch, which is his home church and his sending church. And, of course, Paul had lots of home churches, but the Antioch church was his sending church, and he went there and fellowshipped and reported in there and had a great time with them. And then his heart again began to take on that concern and that love for all those churches that had been established. And so he took his third missionary journey and went out, starting in Antioch and off to visit a whole bunch of the ones that he had visited in his first and second missionary journeys in Lystra and Derbe and Iconium and all those places. And he eventually, in chapter 19, we find that he arrives in Ephesus. He'd actually been there once before on his way home from the second missionary journey. He stopped in at Ephesus. It was across the ocean or the Aegean Sea across from Corinth, and I guess his ship stopped in there, and the people begged him to stay, and he said no, he had to get to Jerusalem, and he left them, but he promised he'd come again. And so on this third missionary journey, the Lord leads him back to Ephesus. And the thing that we find in Acts chapter 19, as he gets to Ephesus, the thing that's different about Ephesus that he finds believers. Every other place that he went to, he would try to find the Jewish people and then start to witness to them and lead someone to the Lord. But he finds believers here. This shows progress in the body of Christ, progress of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to say that when he goes to find the Jewish people, and in Acts we read over and over again to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, we have to be careful not think the Jewish people were more loved by God than anybody else. And so, but the Jewish people were the people who understood enough to make the step into belief and become the leaders to show everyone else about God. And that's what God had planned for them through all the ages. They just got full of themselves and thought they're better than anyone else. And it's a good lesson to all of us. And so this time, instead of having to go to the synagogue first, Paul finds believers, and I'm sure his heart was just so full to find believers. And he's sitting down with them, and they're getting to know each other and to fellowship together. And as a good teacher, he begins to ask them questions because he wants to know where they're at in their walk with Jesus. He wants to know how much they understand so that he can come in and encourage them and they can encourage him. And so they're visiting together, and he asks them the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And there was this awkward silence. And they said, Holy Spirit, we never heard about that. We don't know anything about it. We didn't know if there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul thought, okay. So when you were baptized, what were you baptized into? And they said, well, John's baptism. You know, John, the forerunner of Jesus, or the forerunner, he his story. And he said to repent and be baptized because the Messiah is coming. I think it's great that on the first day of Advent, we get to talk about John the Baptist, the forerunner. That's so beautiful. But here, they said, that's the one. We were baptized into John's baptism. Paul says, gotcha. Now he knows where they're at. And isn't it interesting that last week we heard about Apollos who had known of John's baptism? These are believers who know of John's baptism. We don't know if they were people who were converted by Apollos or not. Apollos had been traveling around. He may have been there. But the thing that strikes me on this is that so often when we think of John the Baptist's ministry, it was so short. I mean, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, which was a long ways from Ephesus and Corinth. And I mean, when someone's in the wilderness, you know there's no internet, and they didn't have newspapers. He was the one who was the person bringing the news, the crier in the wilderness. And his message was, repent and get yourself ready. Get right with God because God's ready to bring about his plan. God's got a plan for us and he's about to do something. Get yourselves ready. And it struck a chord with the Jewish people. They were under the thumb of Rome, and they were so sick of that, and they didn't want to be under the thumb of Rome, and they've been crying out to God. And here's this person out in the wilderness telling them, God's got a plan, and he's going to do something. Get yourself ready. And it struck a chord, and the whole country went out to listen to him. It says all the people from Jerusalem and Judea, and they all went out to listen to him. That's in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And if you guys have got it there, if you can put it up. Mark starts with this wonderful prophecy from Isaiah. Again, talking of the advent, the coming, where Isaiah told those many, many years before Jesus that there would be one who would be a voice crying in the wilderness. And he'd tell people, make straight the pathway and prepare your heart for God. And John said, that's who I am. And I'm telling you to get ready because God's got a big plan and he's doing stuff. And he wants you to be part of it. So be baptized, repent of your sins. Repent just means turn around. Turn from what you've been doing. Get your heart ready for God. Get focused on God. And all of Judea went out. And we don't realize how far that message went. I wonder how it got there. They didn't have the communication systems that we've got that within 5 minutes you can tell the whole world something. There someone had to walk with the message. And yet, John's message and John's ministry, he stirred all of his country in a very short time. He didn't preach for 20 years. And build a big church. He began his preaching, and it wasn't very long. He wasn't known for being politically correct. And so he taught pretty straight, and he taught about sin, and he taught about judgment, and he didn't care who he spoke to. And when he told the ruler of the country, you're an adulterer, and you've taken your brother's wife, and you need to repent and change your life, and so does she. She didn't like it. And he ended up losing his head for it. And so John's ministry was strong, it was powerful, it was straightforward, and it was also short. And yet it struck the chord, it shook his country, and it shook the Jewish community for many, many, many places. Apollos was from Alexandria. I don't know if that's where he heard about John. But you see, Jewish people went to Jerusalem at least once a year, some of them three times a year. Many of them were merchants, and they would travel, and they would go to Jerusalem, and they would find out what's going on in Jerusalem and take the message back to the communities. And I think that's how the message of John got traveled all over the place, so that people heard about John and heard about that God was going to do something and that they should get their hearts ready. And that's all they knew. And so they were baptized into that idea of getting focused on God and being ready for God. And Paul met them, all ready for God. And in Acts chapter 19, we have the one verse that tells us what Paul did there. Once again, I wish the Bible gave us more details. I'd love to have heard that message of what Paul said to these people. I don't think it was just, you know, a three-minute session, said, okay, let's baptize you. I think they had a conversation, and he told them about John. He told them how he preached, how the people came out, and then he told them how that one day when John was preaching, Jesus came by, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he told his disciples, he's the one. And people, when he was so famous, they said, are you the Messiah? And he said, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm the one who tells you about him, and he's so great, he's coming after me, and he is so great, I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his shoes. Those people understood that, because you see, in those days, there would have a place just outside every home or in every home where when you came in, there was a servant to help you take your shoes off and then you washed your feet, because the roads were so dirty and dusty and there was always someone to wash your feet. Thai people understand that. They even still have in many of the places a little bowl where you can wash your feet off before you walk in. They don't have a servant so often, but a place where you rinse your feet and then you walk in, because you take your shoes off to go into anyone's home. And when John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to be the one to take his shoes off, they know that's the lowest servant that does that job. And they understood John's idea of himself. He was not Messiah. And he may have been famous, he may have been greatly respected, but he said, I'm not the Messiah. There's one coming. I'm here to tell you to get ready for the one who's coming. And he said, don't look at me, but here he is. When Jesus came by, and then Mark goes on to talk about when Jesus was baptized by John. And John told him, you're the one. And the Holy Spirit came down and God spoke and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And in that moment, we see that picture of the wholeness of God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit coming down and God the Son standing in the water. That is the picture that God shows himself to us in so many wonderful facets, because God is so much higher than us and we don't understand so because of our finite minds. And so God shows himself in so many ways. And so he was showing himself and to John, and John said, this is Jesus, the one who will take our sins away. Paul would have talked to them about John, who was the forerunner, about Jesus who came, and Jesus who lived and gathered the disciples and taught about God. Paul would have told them about Jesus' life. And Paul would have had to admit to them, no, he never got John's baptism. He would have had to admit to them, no, I actually wasn't one of those disciples that were close to Jesus. He would have told them about his own conversion, about how he came to Jesus much later because he was one of those Jewish people that opposed Jesus. He would have told them that, because Paul was a humble brother too, and he wouldn't hide those things. He would have sat and told those people of his own story, how Jesus came to him and showed him his love, even though he was fighting him. So he would tell them about John and about Jesus, but particularly about the disciples who thought that Jesus would start his kingdom right now, because these believers thought that. And all the believers believed Jesus would come so soon and set up his kingdom. And he said, the disciples, they were ready. They thought we would have a coronation and they would have cabinet posts. And on that last night, Jesus had to tell them, there's no coronation. There's going to be a crucifixion. And how that Jesus died. And the disciples were so upset about this. And Jesus talked to them and told them, Don't be afraid. It's good that I go back to heaven. And they thought, how can this be? And he said, no, when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will come and he's going to be in you. And he's going to help you. He'll be in you. You see, you've been with me and you've watched me do everything Father told us to do. And I'm promising you that Holy Spirit will come. He will be in you and you'll be able to do all the things that I've done. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, will be in you to help you be a witness. You'll be powerful witnesses to me. He said, the Holy Spirit will remind you and help you to remember all that I've taught you. Holy Spirit will be in you to strengthen you and help you understand things that you wouldn't ordinarily. That's what Holy Spirit does. He said, he will be the one in you to bring you to God and make you understand how much God loves you. So often we think of God as sitting on a white throne on the outer edges of the farthest galaxy. Holy Spirit is the one that brings Jesus and God right into our hearts and help us know that we are the beloved children of God. That is the work of Holy Spirit. And he's saying to them, Holy Spirit is the one that brings God to you. Holy Spirit comes in you. And as he witnessed to those people, he said, that's who Jesus is, the Messiah, the one who died for our sins. Holy Spirit is the one who comes in and comes in and helps us to know Jesus. Are you interested? And they said, oh, yeah. And so then they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Paul prayed with them and Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spake in other tongues as well. Bible doesn't tell us there in Acts chapter 19. Doesn't tell us whether they spoke in the languages that other people could understand, like what happened on Pentecost, or whether they spoke in a heavenly language. See, Holy Spirit knows them all, and he can help us speak any one of them. And Holy Spirit still comes into people and helps them to speak a heavenly language or sometimes a language that is known to somebody else. Our senior missionary, Butcher, was a missionary to China in the times when the Japanese were taking over China, and they were in a meeting and they knew that the Japanese were coming, but the Japanese made a lightning attack and came much faster than they thought, and they had been told you have to evacuate, and they said the only way to go is this road. And while they were in a prayer meeting with the Christians, the Chinese Christians, to say goodbye to them and get ready to run down this road, there was a little old village lady who was a believer, but didn't know anything. I mean, she had never been educated in any language. She stood up and spoke in perfect English and said, Butcher, you don't go down that road, you go this road. In perfect English, through the Holy Spirit. And his life was saved because if he'd gone down the other road, the Japanese would have killed them. They killed everybody that escaped down that road. But he went a different road, and he and his family were saved. Holy Spirit still speaks. Holy Spirit still can speak in any language. And the language he's speaking is love. Helping us know God loves us. Help us know that God is with us. Help us know that the same God that was in the book of Acts is that God. And so when those people got baptized and became believers, they went with Paul to the synagogue. And they talked in the synagogue and told people about Jesus, and many Jewish people accepted. And then, of course, there was the same opposition. You see, there were two streams of prophecy about the Lord Jesus. One is about the suffering Savior, and one is about the kingly Savior. And the Jewish people liked the kingly Savior part, and they remembered those ones, and they had a political agenda. And if you didn't have a Messiah with a political agenda, they weren't interested. And so when they came with the idea of a Savior, they said, no, that's not the one we're waiting for. And so they refused. Paul took and led the believers to come apart then, and then they taught. And Paul stayed there for 2 years. That's the longest he ever stayed in any place. But God blessed him there, and he blessed those people, and they as he preached and taught them. And when he later wrote the book of Ephesians, it's one of the deepest books of the Bible because he'd been there to teach them for 2 years previous. And so they became strong believers in that area. And in Acts chapter 19, it tells us that the message spread through the whole area. These people received the Holy Spirit and God gave them that unction or that ability, and they could go out and witness, and people all over that territory became believers in Jesus. That territory is known as Turkey today. Isn't it amazing when you think of Turkey as a place that was full of the blessing and power back then? Yeah, Turkey did know. Turkey did understand God at one time. And there were people all over the country who believed in Jesus, who received from God. And we're praying today that there'll be many more, that they'll come back. When Muhammad started teaching the Islamic faith, he talked to people who had known. And all the way through the Quran, it says, remember, remember, remember. It was written to a people who had known. There's many things in the Quran that we can thank God for and believe God to use it to lead them back to the true God. So let us pray that the Turkey that once knew God in Paul's time will know God again. Because Holy Spirit can speak any language. Holy Spirit was there. And there were so many wonderful things happened. Not just that they spoke in tongues. Not just that the people came to know God, which was wonderful, and their lives turned around. But God healed people. Even some people who were far away, they would bring a handkerchief and they'd pray over it and take it back, and there was healings. Holy Spirit still does those things. And we're told that same Spirit, in Romans 8, I think it's 11, that same Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, he dwells in you. That's the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Do you remember the Holy Spirit that's in us is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? He can do anything. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells in you. And he will quicken or make our whole selves come alive, spirit and soul and body, to come alive to God with our understanding opened, that we can walk with God. Let this Christmas time be a time when our hearts are open to God and let God speak to us. Because we are living in a time when we need to realize that the end has come, that God's next move is here, that Messiah who will reign is coming soon now. And we need to get our focus straightened out, get our hearts set on God. Let God speak. Let Holy Spirit bring us close to God. Let Holy Spirit heal us in our hearts, in our bodies. Right now, Holy Spirit is here. He's in you. Let him rise up and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Be to me what you want me to be. Let me hear God. Let me walk with God. Through this Christmas season, let God be real to me. That we can believe that God not only has a plan for each of our life, but his plan for the whole world will never falter. And he's inviting us to be a part of it. Can we say, Holy Spirit, here am I? That I will be with you and I will follow you. I will open my heart to the possibilities of God Almighty and what he wants to do. Oh, Lord Jesus. Our hearts say, come, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts. Bring us close to God. Touch us. Heal us. Jesus is healing. Let him heal right now. Pray for complete healing for Pastor's shoulder. There's other people with hurt shoulders right here that God will heal them. And I feel God is touching people on the hip. Thank you, Jesus. Let God heal backs today. Let God heal, because Holy Spirit is here, and He's a healer. And strengthen your faith, and show us Jesus. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to ask God to be here. Spirit of God, we invite you right now to come into this place. Father, we say, come. Open our hearts, Lord. Touch our spirits. Heal bodies. You said you sent your word and healed them. Lord, just heal. And draw us all into your plan, Lord. Let us walk in your way. So this whole valley will know the power of God like Turkey did back then. We ask, Lord Jesus, to bless your people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The song that James is just playing in the background is the song that led into the start of Faye's message, Give Me Faith. I just sense, before we sing again, let's just take another couple of minutes just to be really still. And just say, Holy Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit wants to just remind us of some things, strengthen our faith in some things, to trust God for some things. Thank you, Lord. Let's just cherish this quietness for a moment here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There was a word this morning in our prayer time, our pre-service prayer time, that I think it's something that needs to be mentioned. It just feels like this is a good place. And someone, while we were praying, just said, they said they really had a strong burden for families. And part of the burden was where there's been disunity, maybe division, that God would come and intervene. And I mean, this is another area of where the Holy Spirit can heal. This is an area where the Holy Spirit, there's some things that, you know, you can have 1,000 different counselors and people to try to fix things, but sometimes it's only the Holy Spirit quietly at work. I remember when our oldest son was away from God, and we prayed for him. We prayed for him a lot to come back to Jesus. And when he finally did come back to the Lord, we asked him. We said, Jeremy, we said, in those times when you were not walking with God, when you were, he was basically lived, there was a lot of rebellion and just a lot of, it was not a happy time in our home at all. And he told us, We said, did you ever hear God speaking to you? And he said, every night on his bed, in his bed, the Holy Spirit was speaking. Some of you can relate to that. Those times when you were maybe far from God and the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, calling you. He won't let us go. And so maybe right now there's someone that you just feel really desperate for your families, for your family. Maybe there's a situation that the Holy Spirit right now is wanting to maybe minister faith and hope to you, to keep trusting, keep believing. There's an impossible circumstance that only God, only the Holy Spirit can, do his work. Families are under attack today. Marriages are under attack today. Households are under attack today. The media, influence of media today is doing huge havoc on our families. And this is where the church needs to be strong. That's where the church needs to be the people of God. And that's why the Holy Spirit has come, to help us, to bring healing in every area. I just so appreciate, Faye, you just being totally sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading you as you shared this morning. You know the story, and let me encourage you to read Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 20. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Read those two passages. And read them not just as a historical event, but read them as a story that God is still wanting to do today. Because that's what it's all about, right? The Holy Spirit still is working in people's lives today. Would you just say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life this morning. I welcome your strength. I welcome your presence. I welcome your power. Just maybe even put your hand out in a posture of receiving. Holy Spirit, once again, we welcome you. We welcome you into this church, Lord. Holy Spirit, as a church, we are weak without you. We are so weak without you, Holy Spirit. We say yes. We welcome you. We don't welcome just emotion or feeling or craziness. We welcome you as a person. We welcome your gentleness. We welcome your kindness. We welcome your reality today. We're weak. We are weak. We need you. If you are here this morning with some family members, maybe standing beside you, maybe your husband, your wife, maybe you've even got some teenage children with you, would you just join hands with your family members around you? If you're beside someone that maybe it's a friend, even just feel free to do the same thing. I want us just to welcome the Holy Spirit into our families. There was, as I said earlier, just this word to pray for families today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our families this morning. On this first Sunday of Advent, we welcome you think of Mary when she, when the Holy Spirit came, the angel came and said, you're going to have a son, a child. She had to welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit because she didn't quite understand it, but she welcomed. Parents, during this Advent season, welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your household, in your families, with your kids, with your children, maybe with a wayward son or daughter. Just say, Holy Spirit, bring him home. Bring him home. Bring him home. Bring him back. I still have a son that's away from Jesus right now. I'm praying, God, would you bring Matthew home? Bring him back. Bring him back. Holy Spirit, our families are weak without you. If you're a business person, invite the Holy Spirit into your business. Say, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will give you strategies. The Holy Spirit will give you ideas. The Holy Spirit will give you plans and strategies that will help you rise above the rest. Not for your gain, but for his kingdom's gain. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment we have right now. Thank you, Lord.
The road that you travel, it's the road of forgiveness. The road that you travel with me. The journey's not hard when we do it together. Come, travel the road with me. There are times when you'll feel you've gone down in the valley, where it's dim and you fear you can't see. Just remember, I am the light of the world. Take my hand. Come. Travel with me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 I don't know about you, but I'm glad it was Faith preaching this morning. God used her. I shared with her a couple of weeks ago this story, and I felt she was the right one to share. I didn't know how she was going to bring it out, but that she was a qualified person to share this story about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I just love the way we don't have to just teach and receive this as history, but that we would apply. We've been learning in our small group, our newcomer small group, that we want to be the life application of God's word, the doers of God's word, the valuing of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We highly value the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we got to experience a little bit of that. So, and I hope that when you leave today, that you will take this with you. This is not something just to leave behind. God wants to continue to speak to you. So let me encourage you to do that. And just say in your devotions this week, say, Holy Spirit, like, what are you saying to me? Amen? Amen. So bless you, everybody.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.